Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. If you're listening by internet, please dial 646-595-4877. Again, 646-595-4877. I'm delighted to be with you on the program tonight. Truly, the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And I am looking forward to teaching the Word of God tonight. Amen. Amen again. Well, before we get started, I want to encourage each and every one of you to keep listening to the broadcast on Sundays. Those of you who are business leaders, starting businesses, or leaders in the church and want to get some type of insight on some things, some strategies, we have a great series on Sunday evenings that are going on as well as Tuesday. We completed the first new format series on Tuesday, and the next week we're going to be dealing with principles of submission straight from the Spirit of God. We're just enjoying that. So tonight we're going to be speaking on empowering the righteous conscience. Empowering the righteous conscience. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Knowing that this is the day that you have made, we rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and the liberation of thought, that I might make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Empower the lives of your people. And that something that is being said, done, and even proclaimed tonight, glorify your holy name. I thank you that you've anointed every ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So, Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen again. Our foundation scripture is found in Hosea 10:12, which says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, weep in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is now the time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea was written to demonstrate the steadfast and unfailing love of God for Israel in spite of her continued unfaithfulness. Through Hosea's marital experience, the book shows us the heart of a loving and compassionate God who longs to bless his people with the knowledge of himself, and all that know him intimately can experience the God kind of life. In keeping with this purpose, the theme of Hosea is a strong testimony against the northern kingdom because it had been unfaithful to its covenant relationship with the Lord. As demonstrated in the widespread corruption in moral life, both publicly and privately, the prophet seeks to get his countrymen to repent and return with contrite hearts to their patiently ever-loving God. And so we are endeavoring to empower the righteous conscience. Our last lesson was the state of sanity through righteousness. And we gave a theological construct on what the righteous conscience is. And we gave a definition which said the righteous conscience is the revelation that is attained at the point of recognition of the Lord Jesus' finished work, achieved at Calvary, as the mentality, mandate, motivation to live out our faith through grace. We said that the purposes of these lessons is simply put to empower the message of righteousness in consistent communication to the body of believers we are entrusted with as stewards of the administration of grace. The goal is to systematically review the fundamentals of the doctrine of righteousness and build a comprehensive approach to empowering the message on relying on the grace of God to conform us into the reality and the potency of his righteousness. It's our objective then to apologetically influence the effects of theology empowered through the proclamation of the gospel that empowers the righteous consciousness. We will achieve this through the review of contextual driven scriptures that appeals to the believer being developed in righteousness. And of course, we gave you 5 vital scriptures to empower the righteous conscience, which was Titus 3:5, Ephesians 4:24, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 6:13, and Matthew 20. In the last lesson, we dealt with the righteousness of God will awaken through the revelation of the redemptive work instinctively engrafted through the revelation of the Word of God. So we know that the revelation of the Word of God prompts us to respond to the gospel of grace afforded through the ministry of Jesus. Then we also learned that through the renewal of the mind, grace is allotted by faith when it comes through the insights of who we are in Christ, which motivates the expression and supernatural conviction needed to live by the grace of God, because it's the grace that allots the power needed to develop this righteous conscience. And then we also discuss trusting on relying the Holy Spirit yields the expected fruit of righteousness that God demands of us. Fourthly, we talked about how teaching righteousness is virtually impossible for the hypocritical. All forms of righteousness demand pureness of heart, and those who rely on the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We then resolved that to live out loud our Christianity will stimulate the eruption of the manifestation of a spirit-driven child who is heirs of the promise. And we encourage all of us to walk by faith and not by sight. Tonight, we want to further look at this by the seeding secrets to righteousness. And any time we talk about seed, we are talking about the potential through a process of establishing ourselves in righteousness so that it can bring about the fruits of righteousness that the Lord demands of us. So in John chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, it says this. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in the world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor." The promise of Jesus is that the process of seeding into righteousness will bring about an honor that can only come from God. So tonight's lesson is entitled, "The Seed Secrets of Righteousness." The Seed Secrets of Righteousness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the scripture lets us know this. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin, but sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, ye reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, those that are alive from the dead, and your members as sin as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye shall not be under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." The two scriptures let us know that there is a potential that comes out of establishing a relationship with God. The Roman writer, the church in Rome, needed doctrinally very strong messages presented to them because they had confused genuine theology with elitism. And they begin, like the Greeks, to theorize a justification of sin in their life. So it's important for the apostolic voice to communicate to the church that Christ being raised from the dead was the seed plot for us to exist in this righteousness that God demands of us. And in doing so, we would, in allowing this seed to be in us and alive in us, we would experience his life because of the reality of his death. The sin conscience has been so fertilized by theology so that righteousness and the teaching thereof is aloof and ideal in the eyes of the hearers. Prime example, I was talking to children this week when I teach children each week, and we've been studying on Leviticus and how the priests were, the Levites was the family that Moses chose, which was his blood family, to go in the presence of God for the people. And that the purpose of him choosing them was because of their ability to follow the instructions to the T, to present themselves in righteousness before God so that the sacrifices can be accepted. Of course, you know that there are 9 different types of offerings. Six offerings, 9 feasts in the book of Leviticus. And we know that the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, I've covered them all, were all offerings that were instinctively given for the people. The trespass offering, if I didn't say that, were offered for the people because they had challenges communicating to God. And this sin consciousness that exists so prevalent in the churches today is limiting the believer from being renewed in the spirit of their mind by the regeneration, the creating of a new generation of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews that the Holy Spirit is able to cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Let's go there right quick. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 10. Well, Hebrews chapter 10 says this. And let me say this about the seed plot. The seed plot of our study in the righteous conscience is actually it's in the 9th chapter. Let's read verse. The seed plot is Christ. Listen to this, verse 13, 9:13 of Hebrews. It says, "For if the blood of the bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, of course the Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that means of death for the redemption of the and of the transgressions that were under the first testimony. They which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where is the testament? There must be of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is not of force after men are dead. Or for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. And here we say that the seed plot. So God takes his seed as the plot for our righteousness. And as a result of Jesus offering his body for our righteousness and raising from the dead, righteousness is possible for those that believe. Amen. So, in 10, I want you to hear this. Verse 14, it says, "For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this covenant that I will make in them and in their hearts, or in those days, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not thinking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and in so much the more you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour all the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment shall we suppose he be brought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in a holy thing, and have done despite the spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which ye were illuminated. Ye endured a great fight of affliction, patiently whilst thou laid against things on both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst became the companions of them that were so used. For ye compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. For when ye are in need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So here, that passage lets us know this concept. I like Romans because it says, likewise ye have to also reckon yourself dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now, why do I bring this to your attention tonight? The righteous conscience demands the meditation on these scriptures in order to experience the God kind of life. The righteous life has to be explored, ministers of the gospel. And if you don't explore what it means to be righteous, you won't experience what God has deemed and ordained for your lives. Amen. For sin, as the scripture says, shall not have dominion over you. Tonight there are five simple steps to harvesting a righteous mind. Five things you can do to ensure that you develop a righteous conscience. Number one, hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. Secondly, hope thou in God. Thirdly, have a high form of humility. Fourthly, heed to the directives of the Holy Spirit. And fifthly, hang in there by possessing patience and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Let me say that one more time. Number one, hear the voice of God. Number two, hope thou in God. And number three, have a high form of humility. Number four, heed to the directives of the Holy Spirit. And then fifthly, hang in there by possessing patience and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Tonight I want to leave you with this. The seed of righteousness is the seed of Christ in our hearts. As we indulge in the facets of our union with Christ, the Holy Spirit illuminates our insight on how to take hold of Christ in our lives and make obedience to Christ possible. Seeding something is setting a clear focus through a simple, consistent act of obedience. Because it's obedience that leads to righteousness and disobedience that leads to sin. It is the starting point. Sanctification is a process of thinking our lifestyles to the mind of Christ. So the actions of the Lord Jesus' suffering on the cross is indeed the seed plot of righteousness. And his intent was for us to have a clear access to God so that we can confidently exist in his character. Amen? Amen and amen again. Tonight we talked about the seed plot of righteousness. And we examine the four things to ensure that we have a harvest of righteousness. Hearing the voice of God, hoping thou in God, having a high form of humility, heeding to the directives of the Holy Spirit and hanging in there by possessing patience and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We exegeted the book of John, the 12th chapter, and we also exegeted Romans 6. And confirm what we said with the instructions given to us in Hebrews 9:13 and Hebrews 10:14. Next week, we want to talk about the Son of Righteousness, standards to live by. Because we want to empower the righteous conscience. Hopefully, tonight, you understand that because you have God's grace, God's ability, his power, his influence to work on your behalf, although you don't deserve. You have access by faith into this grace where you stand so that you can obtain the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how do we do that? We allow him to take hold of our minds. And we die daily to sin so that we might live unto righteousness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That even the word Father of my heart, the meditation and the insights thereof, be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. I want to specifically pray tonight for supernatural healing. Those of you who may be dealing with some type of physical ailment, I'm going to stand in agreement with you. I know we are on the airwaves, but there's no distance in the spirit. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, those that are ministers of the gospel and those that may be listening by some form of method that are dealing with physical ailments, sicknesses, infirmities. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God that healeth your people. God, you are the God that can prove yourself, and time again, we have been eyewitnesses to the testimony of you being there for us. Father, I thank you, Lord. And I set myself in agreement with those that are believing for you to come through. That, Father, you would give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That you would give them the direction and plain paths for their feet as to how to be in health, even as the prosperity of their souls. Where there is demonic influences, Father, that tried to distort them from receiving. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God being allotted to their lives. Every hindering spirit that would try to hold up their manifestation, we come against it and we release the peace of God that surpasses all understanding in Jesus' name. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, you would intervene and cause the perfection of your work and your redemptive work to make them completely whole. Father, where people need miracles, I'm in agreement that you are the miracle maker, that you can intervene and change chemical imbalances, blood counts, everything that is needed to make people perfectly whole. Father, I thank you. You know the pastors and the ministers in particular that I have in mind. And then, Father, I thank you, Lord, for those who I might not know that are standing in the need of agreement, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your word and for your healing power and the virtues of the resurrected Lord, the Lord Jesus. Making them whole, making them sound, Father. And Father, I expect testimonies of divine healing taking place. Father, let your word be magnified in this place. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for you visiting with us tonight and giving us utterance from the Spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for that which we have accomplished together with your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I pray that you have a good night. God bless you, and again, good night.